Okay, well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 2018 Senator Summer Program. My name is Bruce Buffett, and I've taken on the duties of director from Barbara Romanowitz, who has been in charge and guiding CIDR really since the first meeting in 2004. Fortunately for me, and also for you too, Barbara has had a really active role in organizing this meeting and helping us with the sort of the transition, and she's really remarkable attention to detail. Unfortunately, she's not able to make it to the meeting for the first time ever. Her youngest daughter is having her first child, and Barbara wanted to be there to help out with that. I guess in terms of organizational things, I just wanted to say that most of you have met Mohabbat, who's been the organizing genius in terms of a lot of the details, and he'll be the person that you get in touch with when you're talking about reimbursements and other things like that. And the other person that you'll want to know is Dan Frost, who's here. Dan? There he is. Stand up. Say hello. I'm going to explain in a few minutes why Dan is someone that you'll want to know. Okay. So this 2018 program is funded by NSF, and in fact, all of the CIDR programs have in fact been funded by NSF by one program or another. We started in the early days with funding from the CSETI program. We transitioned to this program that was the Frontiers for Earth System Dynamics, I think, and more recently back to CSETI again. We've also been really quite fortunate and indebted to KITP for providing the space for us to hold this meeting, and also for the infrastructure and support that comes along with this. So what I wanted to do is just give you a few remarks about the background, to give you a little bit of context about CIDR, and then talk about what our goals and aspirations for this program are. So the motivation for CIDR really came out of the recognition that the study of the Earth's deep interior involved a broad number of different fields. All of these fields, or maybe subdisciplines perhaps, all had their own set of tools and approaches, in some ways specialized language, and contributed a particular point of view to understanding the interior of the Earth. But what we recognized is that as these fields became more technically sophisticated, it was becoming more difficult to be on top of what was happening in these other fields outside of your own main area. It was also difficult to know of the new results, what were the things that were firmly established, and what were the things that were maybe not so well established, things that could potentially be overturned or changed with subsequent work. And so the thought was that we needed some mechanism by which the different fields could work more effectively together, coordinate efforts, and actually accelerate progress. So this is a slide that Barbara has shown at every CIDR meeting that I've ever been at, and I intend to sort of continue this tradition. It's to remind us of the parable of the blind man and the elephant, and the analogy here essentially is that the different subdisciplines are the blind men, to whatever that means. I think the idea here really is that all of the different subdisciplines look at the planet through the lens of their own field. And so it gives you a particular perspective, but you're affected by biases and assumptions and other things. And so the goal really is by combining many, many different points of view in a more integrated and coordinated way, that we can turn the Earth, which is essentially intended to be this elephant, and say, instead of having the geochemists tell us that they're spears, actually discover that they're trunks and so on. The snake, the seismologists tell us it's a snake, and we discover that it's actually a trunk. So that's the idea. Now, one of the challenges in terms of doing this really are essentially twofold. One is a question of language. Often, when different groups come together, they use different languages, and it does take a little time before you understand what the other groups are talking about. And then the other thing is knowing enough about the other fields, the basic approaches that people take, the assumptions, those sorts of things, that you really need to understand that to be able to appreciate what these people are telling you once you do understand what they're saying. So with that as sort of a framework, what we wanted to do with CIDR was to create this framework for a more integrated study of the planet's interior. Another point, I think, which is quite important, is we've seen really quite rapid growth in data infrastructures. But in some ways, those data are only as good as the questions that you're using to ask with those data. And so this provides an opportunity to essentially leverage those investments. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, across disciplinary educational environment, really to prepare the next generation of earth science students, students who are more willing to work collaborative across discipline boundaries and those sorts of things. And so these are all of our goals. So the origin of CIDR really began in 2002. The thought of pursuing this project, a group of people that were involved visited KITP with the idea that some of the things that KITP was doing were similar to the things that they wanted to create with CIDR. And so shortly after that visit, there was a community workshop that was held at Marconi Center just outside of San Francisco in 2003, where a large group of people, really from all over the world, came to talk about what this concept would be, what would it look like, how would it function. And the outcome of that, there was a lot of enthusiasm, and a proposal was submitted to NSF, the CSETI program, for a one-time program, sort of test of concept. And that was in 2004. That was, I think, a huge success. And it then motivated the group to go back to CSETI and get support for the next few years. At the end of that effort, there was another community workshop. Again, people came together trying to imagine, having come this far, what were the next steps. And this led to a number of things. First, the change in marketing or the brand. CIDR used to stand for Integrated Studies of Deep Earth's Interior, and that got changed to Dynamic with the goal of making the focus of CIDR much broader than it had originally been. And there were a number of other additions and things that took place during that, but it ultimately resulted in an award that supported CIDR for 5 years. And at the end of that effort in 2016, there was another workshop, community workshop, with the goal of trying to decide or forecast where CIDR was going to go into the future, and particularly to plan the funding model that we were going to pursue. So I just show you this only from the point of view of the organization of CIDR. Over the years, a large number of people have been involved in making CIDR a success. And this is really all I wanted to illustrate with this slide. With CIDR 2, under the FESDI program, we changed the organizational structure a little bit with an executive committee and an advisory committee. But again, a large number of people were involved in making this all possible. Just a brief summary of some of the programs that we've offered in the past. Starting in 2004, a project that bears a very similar name to the one that we're currently doing. In some ways, it's kind of interesting, for me at least anyways, who was at this 2004, to see us revisit this and take stock of what things have changed and how much progress we've actually taken place. And so I'm really quite looking forward to that. But these are the topics that have been covered in past CIDR meetings. The FESDI support allowed us, as I had mentioned, to expand the focus to some extent and include topics that had a larger geological component. And these were all housed at Berkeley with these as themes, including the subject from last summer, subduction zone structures and dynamics. So these are just some pictures from past CIDR meetings to illustrate some of the activities that go on here. One of the things that's really essential is to foster discussion and debate, ideas about things. And so here's a picture from the first meeting. I remember sort of sitting around this circle discussing research projects and all that kind of stuff. But the key point here, I think, is your participation is essential to make this a success. And so I really encourage you to sort of throw your effort into this. There's also a lot of socializing, as you can see here. Here's Peter slapping on the feedback, so to speak. But the point is that you'll have lots of opportunity. And if this past meetings are any guide to what happens this year, one of the things that will come out of this, you will develop a cohort of fellow students across all the different disciplines that you'll continue to maintain contact with, you'll potentially pursue collaborative projects with, and this is really one of the valuable things that comes out of this meeting. There'll also be opportunities for interacting with senior participants, networking, potentially giving you opportunities for postdoctoral positions, and then also potentially faculty positions. One of the key aspects of this effort are the research groups that get organized in the second 2 weeks to develop specific projects. The idea here is that groups of students and senior participants with complementary interests team together to develop project. So here's an example of the Burnman group, which was developed originally in the summer of 2012. And we're going to hear a tutorial now in this one on the use of Burnman for some of these sorts of things. There'll be poster sessions, and I'll say a little bit more about those in just a minute. Just a couple of comments. The FESD program permitted a number of new activities that were not permitted by the CSETI program. And these included things like the pre- or post-AGU workshops. And one of the things that's important for us to know about is whether or not you guys would like to do this. I would say in the 2017 meeting, our initial plan was to not have a pre- or post-AGU workshop. And there was a lot of enthusiasm on the part of the participants to actually do this. And so it's not something that we're currently planning. But on the other hand, if there's a large number of you that are interested in doing it, and it looks like we're going to be able to attract a large enough mass of people to make it worthwhile, then I think we should try to do it. And so that's something that I want you all to think about over the course of the next couple of weeks as we move forward on this. There was also some support for research projects during the summer programs. This was really important for allowing groups who had made progress over the CIDR to sort of continue that progress and actually bring a lot of these projects to fruition. And then there were a number of working groups, which is something that we are no longer able to support with the current funding arrangement. There's also a CIDR wiki. Part of this is public. There are the lectures from previous summer programs, all the slides are available. So this really becomes a resource for everyone to go back to. Even people who potentially aren't able to participate in the meeting can actually benefit from these. There are the reports of the working groups. There are various other activities. For example, the CIDR publications, presentations, and proposals. And Dan has been doing a great job in terms of organizing this. And so the point is that if you have products that develop from CIDR, we'd like to know about it, and we'd like to acknowledge it, and we'd like to make sure that it gets posted on the website. And then finally, there'll be another website that will be open just for us to sort of share information and develop the projects as we move forward, and Dan will be sort of giving us assistance in terms of making that happen. Okay. Right. So one of the ideas, or one of the real key things here, is that the research groups will hopefully develop products that they can take to sort of the next stage. We often have students presenting posters at AGUs, potentially publications. For us, this is a little awkward because the AGU deadline happens before the end of this program. And so if, as a group or the individual research groups, want to be thinking about submitting an AGU abstract for this coming December, that's something that we'll need to start thinking about early days. And it's just something to be aware of as we go forward. The other thing that comes out of this, and I've already mentioned it a little bit, is generally new collaborations emerge from this. And so this has been really quite a productive outcome. And as I've mentioned, sort of the networking possibilities are important. So these are just some examples of papers that have been published that came out of CIDR working groups. Not all of the projects lead to publications, but even participating, I think, in these interdisciplinary research projects, even if they don't lead to publications, can in fact be a valuable experience. I think in a number of ways it can make you more open and receptive to the idea of doing collaborative research. It may encourage you to pursue interesting problems across disciplinary boundaries. It may motivate you to read literature in other fields more critically, or perhaps give you a broader perspective of the field so that you can write more effective fellowship applications or job applications. So there are a lot of things, good things, that can happen even if your particular project doesn't lead to one of these publications. So I just want to finish up here. We're in good time. I just wanted to finish up with a few logistics, things to be that I want you to be aware of as we go forward. First thing is that all the lectures are recorded. So that's great. But on the other hand, if you're, as lecturers, if you're going to make off-the-cuff remarks about colleagues, you have to remember that it's not off the record, okay? And so everyone will know what you think about so-and-so. The other thing is that these will all be posted on this website, and Dan is going to be sort of helping us look after that. The login for this is going to be CIDR.2018, and then the password will just simply be summer2018. And so if there are problems in terms of getting access to this material, uploading material onto the website, Dan is the person that you want to talk with about making sure that that can happen. Okay, we're going to have a poster session. We'll have two. This first week we'll have one on Friday, and it will involve individuals whose last names begin with L to Z. And then the following week it will be on the Wednesday. And so this is a great opportunity for you to share what you're doing now, and also then perhaps forecast perhaps where you'd like to see your work go during this meeting. I want to encourage everyone to wear their badges at all times. We're going to be having a number of participants, the senior participants and lecturers, coming over the course of the program. And even though you might think during the first week, well, everyone knows who I am, I still encourage you to wear the badges to make sure that it really does promote communications and that sort of thing. So I really encourage you to do this. The students all should have cards with your pictures that will get you in for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. The senior participants, not so much. The senior participants will require cards or tickets for the lunches, and Dan is the person that you want to see to get your lunch card. So this is another reason why Dan is a very important person, okay? He's going to be giving out them a week at a time, so see Dan sometime before lunch to get your allotment of six cards for the first week. Okay. There are a number of group dinners. We're going to have barbecues on the beach just down here in Goleta. It's Beach D. The first one this Tuesday, tomorrow, is going to be catered, but all of the other ones are on us. And so what I would like to have set up is that the student participants will all take turns participating in this. We need individuals to help Dan buy the groceries and supplies for these things. We probably need two or three people for that. We probably need three or four people to do the cooking, and we probably need three people or so to help with the cleanup at the end. And so because we're going to be having three of these and it requires all those people, I'm anticipating that everyone will need to get involved. And so again, we'll probably post the document, allow you guys to sign up. But again, it's really going to be on us to make this happen, or actually it's going to be on you guys to make this happen. Okay. The Thursday dinners, though, are going to be by and large here. There'll be Thursday dinners in the courtyard at KITP. The last Friday of the program we'll have the dinner in the faculty club on campus. It'll all be local. And I think sometime early next week, probably on Monday, we'll want to get a group photo when we're getting the rest of the lecturers and senior participants arriving so that we capture as many of the people as we possibly can. Okay, well that's pretty good. So are there any questions or comments about the stuff that I've talked about or things that you'd like to see clarified? No? Okay, good. So let me just say though that those of you who arrived a little bit later who didn't get a chance to get signed in, I want you to sort of take care of that during the coffee break. The coffee breaks are not part of the normal KITP routine. Afternoon coffee breaks are, but the morning ones aren't. And so what I'm asking of the senior participants is to assist in the preparation of the coffee. And what we'll be doing is putting a couple of urns out in a little room that's just down the hall here on a table and getting it set up for you guys to have coffee so that we don't take a long time to make that happen. Okay? And I'll be touching the shoulders of a number of senior participants to get involved in that over the course of the events. Okay? All right, well maybe I'll call up Kanani and Sujoy to come up and tell us a little bit about some of the scientific motivations for this program. Great. Yep, sure.
So one of the things that makes Center special is that people ask questions.
Yes.
All the time. So there's no questions silly enough. There's no question ignorant, too ignorant to ask. We, as senior faculty, will try to lead by example by asking the maximum number of ignorant questions we can.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Actually, elaborate on one thing as well. So we've got microphones, and I didn't say this, but we would really like you guys to ask your questions with the microphones. And you might argue, well, I don't need a microphone to be heard in this room, and you're probably right. But the problem is that when these get recorded and you don't use the mic, all that we hear is rah, 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 rah. Okay, so if we want to get your question recorded, then you have to use the mic. And I know that there are going to be some of you that will not do this. That's fine. But I'm encouraging the speakers and the lecturers to repeat the question if someone doesn't use the microphone so that we get that recorded on the tapes for future prosperity. Okay? Kanani, it's audience. Yep.